Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Well, hi everyone, and welcome to the PCI podcast. Today we're going to be introducing this year's World Development Appeal, which is entitled Hives of Hope, Working Together for a Better Tomorrow. The project that's featured in this year's appeal resources is based in Honduras, working through Christian Aid. And with me here, I have two people who travelled to Honduras earlier this year to see the project and to meet the people involved. So firstly, we have Ruth Cook, who is the Head of Fundraising and Supporter Engagement at Christian Aid Ireland. And we have Reverend Liam Rutherford, who is the convener of the World Development Appeal Task Group. So welcome to you both, and thanks for taking the time to share a bit about the trip. So both of you visited Honduras a few months ago. Can you tell us a little bit about the country, about your impressions of it, and the situation for the people living there?
Well, Honduras is right in the middle of Central America, a population of about 10 million people, slightly bigger than the island of Ireland, so kind of round about the same population density as ourselves. It's a tropical climate, depends a great deal on agriculture. They have many natural resources, but the wealth is largely confined to the urban centres, and there's this great disparity between rich and poor. The figures would say that 60% of the population live in poverty, and 19% of children under five have impaired development due to malnutrition. So there are quite a number of problems to be addressed in Honduras.
Yeah, I think that I would say overall my impression was one of great beauty. It's a really beautiful country. We were travelled over to the western region, a region we spent most of our time in, Limpira, and really beautiful, mountainous. Travelling to where we were getting to was kind of arduous at times, but we passed lots of beauty along the way. But at the same time, as Liam says, there were so many kind of compounding challenges for families and communities, the kind of malnutrition of children, but then other, you know, the climate is changing. They're in the dry corridor. It's what is known as the dry corridor. So there's extremes of climate there. So crops aren't as reliable. You've got the pressure to migrate, particularly to the US, but to other countries around about as well, and how that breaks up families. You've got drug trafficking and gangs in the area, and the list could go on. So there's all of these things that are kind of hiding behind the beauty at the same time.
And can you tell us a little bit about the partner organisation and what they're doing in Honduras?
Christian Aid are working there and with a couple of different organisations, but the one that we were focused on is one called OCDI, which is a Christian kind of holistic development organisation. And it was set up by a Christian wanting to respond to issues of poverty and need and deprivation across Honduras. They do different things. They look at human rights, they address migration, and they want to have put in place sustainable livelihoods for families, economic initiatives. But across all of that, they want to bring in the Christian faith and ensure that that is impacting how they do their work. So when we were with them, and we would go into communities, and they would start their community meetings with something from the Bible, an encouraging thought or challenging thought, with also prayer in the community. So that was really encouraging for us to be part of too.
And you've talked about this a little bit. You mentioned that you visited the Limpira region in western Honduras. Tell us a bit about what life is like for the people. Again, I know you've mentioned that a little, but maybe tell us about some of the specific people that you met and what life's like for them living in that region.
People there really have to be very much more self-reliant than folk here. There's very little by way of any safety net. And so people are having to rely on what resources they have, which may be very little. There is this, as Ruth has said, this huge pressure to migrate, especially to the US. I was very struck by a guy we met. He was called Jesus, and he had gone to the States. He had followed his father there, and he was really trying to get away from a bad situation and at the same time try and send money home. But when he got there, he realized actually he'd made a terrible mistake. And he more or less confessed that to the authorities, and they immediately deported him. When he came back to Honduras, he was having to start from scratch, really. And with the support of OCDI, he was able to start again. He's now planting coffee and this thing called a plantain, which looks like it's a banana, but you have to cook it in order to eat it, and other things. So he was able to get real help from them. But it struck me just how much pressure people feel to, and desperation really, you know, how do I get out of this? And for some people, it's heading off as far as they can, but that doesn't work out. In fact, his message to anybody who would listen to him was, you know, look, we have so much here. Why can't we make use of the resources here?
I think that's true. He did seem like he had felt so much pressure and so much desperation, but the dream was not reality whenever he actually came to it. And I think there are a lot of resources or the ability to create resources in Honduras, but because of the changing climate, for example, the kind of crops that people have relied upon, they can't trust that the rains are going to come at the right time and they're going to get what they need. And sometimes crops can be ruined because of the changing climate. And I think the word and the, or the phrase that kept coming to my mind when we were there is this idea of living on a knife's edge, that families, they might plant and they might try and diversify their crops, for example. But if something went wrong, particularly around the climate, then it was all for naught and they're starting from scratch again. And as Liam says, there's no safety net. So we met a lot of people who are really working very hard to make sure that they can put food on the table and help their children have opportunities in the future. We spent a lot of time with a particular group of women called Ormel, and they had originally got together because trying to raise awareness of issues of violence in the community, particularly violence in homes. And they wanted to educate women on different types of abuse and what signs to look out for, and actually and also help people in difficult situations. But over time, along with OCDI and Christian Aid, they recognised that one of the driving factors around this violence is the economic pressure that people, that families are under. And so that is whenever they introduced this kind of whole train of beekeeping and wanting to help women with that. We met Juanita, who leads that group, and she's a really passionate beekeeper, Liam, isn't she? She could have talked about it for a long, long time. You know, all the benefits of it, you know, it helps with biodiversity, there's health benefits, and it's a calming thing for people because you've got to be calm with the bees. It obviously brings in and has the potential to bring in income, and it helps families work together. So all of these things Juanita was really, really passionate about and was helping other women to learn as well.
Another woman we talked to was a grandmother, Candida, and she was just like this bundle of energy. I mean, she lived in a house that was just absolutely falling apart. I mean, one of the walls looked like it was made of black bin bags or something. It was just incredible. And yet here she was on this dirt floor, you know, talking away and really enthusiastic about what she was able to do with this bee project and be able to support her family. She couldn't read or write, completely illiterate. She says, so what? I'll just get on with it.
And 37 grandchildren too, if you remember.
Mind boggles, yeah. But just the sheer determination was incredible.
She'd never been to school a day in her life. And she did talk about feeling that she used to be very stressed. And actually with the beekeeping, it's really helped that. Helped her and her husband, they're working together, and she has ambitions. I mean, she's in her 60s, she has ambitions that once she, you know, they divide the hives, that's a big part of the work. You have to be very patient. You maybe have one hive and then you build it up so you can divide it, then you keep dividing so you've got more hives. And so she has plans that in the future, that when she gets to a certain number of hives, that she'll be able to then do more harvesting of the honey and then have income that way. And also, I guess there's this communal element for the women that we met. They're working together, they're meeting together most weeks, and which is encouraging. They're doing training with OCDI around hive management and that type of thing, but it's also helping them and build these relationships and build a sense of solidarity and common goals. And then they can also work as a cooperative too, rather than selling their honey one by one as individuals. Actually, they can pull it together and sell it and send it further and maybe sell to other businesses, supermarkets, that type of thing. And we did meet another group who were already further down the road of that. You know, they had their registration for their business and they had branding, they had a name further along in those plans. So I think for Ormel, they have ambition, you know, to move in that direction as well.
So just to backtrack a little bit, In terms of the practicalities of what Octi does in this project, do they provide the hives or do they just provide the training, or how does that look?
I think it's a combination of a few of those things. So we met some Octi staff like Carla and Manuel, and they would be going into the community quite regularly and holding sessions with these women, maybe doing kind of, it could be team building one day. So when we were there, they were actually doing some games that you and I would have played in youth groups growing up as well. And then Manuel was doing training with women. So he is trained in agriculture and development and that kind of thing. So he was doing some work around how to ensure the health of your hives. So there's that. But with the money that comes through PCI and Christian Aid, it helps to be able to provide more hives, provide more training, do things like the registration, training, and that sort of business management as well. So there's a whole list of things, but oftentimes maybe the women might get a hive, but actually then they can be taught how to build more hives too in the future. And often family are involved, the whole family can get involved in that part, and we did see that too.
That was something that Candida said, actually. She managed to get her husband involved in constructing some of these hives, and I thought that was great for being able to draw other members of the family in.
Yeah, and we did. We spoke to, Noemi, who is in the film, she's the mother of three, and her husband, they're very hardworking. They really want to make sure that their kids have opportunities in the future. One of their daughters told me that she wants to be a police officer, but she also wants to have 100 hives. So it seems to be growing ambition in some of the children as well, as to how they could benefit and also build upon what their mums are doing.
Mm-hmm. And you got to taste some of the honey?
Yeah, we did. A bit too much in my case. There's a proverb, one of the verses in Proverbs says, if you, honey is sweet, if you eat too much, you make yourself sick. And I was there.
That didn't happen to me. At one point we did have honey shots, actually, which was interesting. We had honey on biscuits and honey sweets and things. I did bring some home, and I'm just about finishing it off now. I think it's lovely, very tasty. So I'm all for honey.
As well as this.
So how has the project, again, you've talked about this a little bit, how has the project impacted the lives of the people involved in it, or how do they hope that it will impact their lives as the project develops and they maybe develop more hives?
Well, this lady, Naomi, she's hoping to see her children through education. And I was amazed, you know, just how much faith they have in this project, that they will raise enough finance to be able to do these things. And on the surface, it seems to be such a small thing, but yet it is making this huge difference. So she's hoping, to put her three children through school on the back of this and see them go on from there. Yes, it's amazing.
Yes, I think there's current benefits, like the community aspect of it, the feeling of satisfaction for the women as they learn a new skill, as they contribute into their homes, as they have a source of income that and potential for greater income in the future. So I think all of that, the children have, they're seeing their mothers work really hard on this. There's bringing the family together, there's the health benefits. You know, so all of those things are happening currently, and then there's the future hope as they divide their hives and as they develop and develop this cooperative as well, that actually there'll be greater income in the future for them, and that will help kids and families have greater opportunities. And some of those things are things that we can take for granted, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But for what I find the families in Honduras, they have to work really hard to carve out those opportunities. Mm-hmm. They have to strive and try many different things and lots of, you know, I'm going to start this small business over here. I'm going to diversify the crops here. I'm going to train in beekeeping here. All of these things to ensure that their kids have hope for the future. So it's a benefit now, but greater benefit too in the future, I think.
So having now been home a few months and having had a chance to reflect on it, is there one particular thing that you took away from the visit to Honduras?
I think a little goes a long way. It surprised me just how little things, what seems like a very little thing to me, makes such a difference. Mm. It's the way the whole project works, bringing people together in their cooperative, these ladies together to run their own business, give them confidence, brings families together around, you know, making these hives and expanding them. It just seems to work on so many levels. Just a little seems to go a long way.
I mean, I really loved the trip. I loved meeting the OCDI staff, Christian Aid colleagues, the women in the community. I think something that stays with me is the idea that people in Northern Ireland and Ireland are giving money, raising money. It's zooming its way across the world to Honduras, to a place that most of the people here who are raising money will never go. And that money is making the difference in the lives of people like Candida, people like Noemi and her children, people like Juanita. That blows me away every time I think about it, that people would here would want to give their time and their resources to help people that they'll never meet. But we do it because we believe that God is a God of compassion, a God who calls us to action, a God who cares about those who are vulnerable, a God who cares about injustice and inequality. And so that's why we take action, and that action has ripple effects across the world. Mm. And thank God for it, you know.
And for the people who are listening here in Ireland, thousands of miles away from Honduras, and like you say, most of us are probably unlikely to ever visit Honduras, it can be easy for us to feel a bit overwhelmed by a lot of the big issues that you mentioned that are affecting the people there and things that we've been talking about. So what can we do from here?
We can support the project. Again, as I said, a little goes a long way. A small amount of finance helps ladies like this on the far side of the world with what looks like very small, and yet it multiplies. So that's what I would say, support the project.
I have a friend who was really challenged by a particular social justice issue, you know, a good few years ago. And she just wondered, well, what can I do? And someone prayed for her and said, just do the next thing. Just do the next thing. And for her at that point, it was giving monthly. That was an opportunity that came up in her inbox or something. And it was, well, do the next thing. And she had an opportunity to speak to somebody. So she told them about this issue, just do the next thing, just do the next thing. And so, yes, I think it can be overwhelming to consider the complexity of some of these issues, or also, you know, to watch the news these days is overwhelming, isn't it? There's so much bad news and we feel tempted to hide away. But I would say, just consider and ask God to show you, what is your next thing? Is that to download the resource and to pray for the people in that film? Is it to come alongside your minister and to gently say, oh, when are we doing our world development service? Is it to gather a few friends for a coffee morning to consider the story and to consider the project and to raise some money? Just do the next thing. It doesn't have to be everything, but just the next thing.
That's great. I think that's a really great challenge for all of us going forward. And so thank you both, Liam and Ruth, for sharing your experiences. If you do want to find out more about this year's World Development Appeal or to download resources that you or your church can use, everything's available on the PCI website. So thank you again, both of you, for your time and for sharing. And we wish all of you a happy Christmas.
Yes, no, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.